welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the debut album from singer-songwriter Odie Lee. It's called Carrier Pigeon, and the first song is called A Good Thing.
Just playing dress up, it's hard for me to not romanticize every man I meet. It's hard for me each time. It's hard for me each time. Maybe I'm too forward, but then again I'm not. See, I just didn't see a point in pretending we're not hot. And I wonder what you're doing. I wonder what you've done.
How this album came to be is a very modern story, which is that Odie Lee had two roommates who were rappers, and they decided to have a contest to see who could go viral on TikTok. And she was kind of offended that they didn't include her in the contest. So she said, well, I'm going to make my own song and I'm going to go viral and beat you both. And so she did. And after that, she made a couple of EPs. And then this is her first debut album.
Yeah, so she is bringing a really delightful sensibility that I feel like it's a lot of pieces that maybe are not new, but the combination of in this particular individual is just so refreshing, where she has this very earthy kind of folky voice. And I think maybe her earlier songs were maybe leaning more into that side of things, but has clearly brought in this new production team to try and open up the sound and go into a little more of a pop direction. And I think having this persona of really nicely this outward confidence of being like strutting in, just like, yeah, I'm just seducing guys at parties and I'm so tough and hot. And yet also like, yeah, but I also want to fall in love and I'm really insecure maybe. And it's really charming and sweet.
Yeah, it's very genuine. And she has said specifically that she didn't want anyone to think she was trying to make rock music, because that carried this implication of desire and fame and commercial success. And she didn't see herself in that way. But there's a good amount of fusion of folk Americana and indie pop on these songs, which makes them really charming. I also really like her voice. I think it conveys her earnest lyrics in a way that really just kind of hits you right in the heart.
Yeah, it's that perfect sweet spot where it's like it's powerful and melodic, but there's just enough of a rough edge on it to really ground it and make it feel very, she seems very relatable.
Yes, very relatable. And unlike some of the songs, the albums we've done recently where the lyrics were very opaque, these are all very direct. And she has said that they're mostly informed by actual situations she's been in and like short-term relationships. And she titled the album Carrier Pigeon because she thought, like, you know, I'm writing these songs about someone with the intent that maybe they will hear them and get the message. But there's such a time lag between when you write the song and then when the album is released. It's kind of like a carrier pigeon. You're just sending this message out and maybe it will eventually get to the person to whom it's intended.
We can hope. In the meantime, we can play this next track, another exploration of infatuation. It's called Already On My Mind.
Am I already always on your mind? Am I already always on your mind? Tracing all the lines of your tattoos, I wonder if you wonder what I really think of you. And why my visions blur, and all my thoughts they seem to slip into words. Questions keep me up and up at night, I wonder if you wonder who will fuck it up this time. And how you ended up in some new stranger's house. I thousand miles away from anyone you care about. And it's hard, and it's scary, how you're already always on my mind. And I know how you want me, already always on your mind. Am I already always on your mind?
So on this song, we really start to hear the expansive production where we get these keyboards coming in the second verse, and then a real trumpet, which is really delightful. And I think it's the really awesome to see Oli teaming up with some people who don't have tremendously long resumes in the production department, but are really bringing a lot of talent here. There's sort of a combo, two people different are credited as producer. One of them is Noah Weinman, who also is on trumpet. Uh-huh. And so that's a connection, was on that, also played horns on that Pom Pom Squad record that we did on the show. And then other producer has a Bay Area connection, has worked on with a number of LPs for Field Medics. So awesome. I like this local connections. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And she has said that they recorded trumpet for more of the tracks and then took them out, but this is one that stayed on. And she really wanted the sound of the song to be very open and welcoming. And because she's from Louisiana, she grew up in Baton Rouge and then lived in New Orleans. She now lives in Detroit, but horns feel like home to her, she said.
Yeah, it is such a great, yeah, it creates that openness and where there's the longing. And I love that there's such a great symmetry where it seems like a good chunk of the time is like, you're already always on my mind. And then that projecting on like, I really hope you feel the same way. And yeah, that feeling of potential and terror of a new maybe relationship, maybe not, is really sweet. And yeah, sold with tremendous conviction here.
Yeah, I feel like these songs are very direct in their lyrics and presentation. And I really like that about them. There's no mystery, but it's in a good way. And she comes across as someone who does not have a lot of mystery in a good way.
Yeah. And I think that everything out on the table for you is very much at play on this next track. It's called Party Trick.
And I can't comprehend that when it happens in the movies, all the actors get a second chance and the audience all cheers. But in real life, when you show your cards, what you thought was magic disappears now. Isn't it exactly what has happened here? Transparency got confused, viewed like some narcissistic party trick, but no one's even watching it. Now I'm sitting on the couch with one foot stuck in my mouth and the rest of me is stuck inside my head. And I'm just trying to figure out the real way things all went down and not the way I wanted it. Instead, I wrote a letter on a plane. It said, I miss you and what's your middle name? I tore it up and threw it away. I threw it away. And I took a ferry the very next day to a small island off the coast of LA. And everyone there knew me by my fake name, by my fake name. I don't know you.
I found this song so relatable because I was not single until I was in my 30s. So I didn't learn all those like dating tricks and like rules you're supposed to follow. And so I was just direct and sometimes that didn't work because you're not playing the games that you're supposed to be playing. But anyway, so I really related to that. And I like how this song has so many different parts that are very distinct, but they work together really well as a whole.
Yeah, it's a real efficiency. This is a pretty quick album, 10 tracks, and most of them are around 3 minutes. And yet this one has, I think, a nice kind of verse, pre-chorus, chorus, and a really extended bridge with a lot of different parts, and you've got some backing vocals in various parts, which is great. I couldn't find credits for that, so I don't know how much of that is just her mm-hmm. doing multi-tracked, but it sounds fantastic. And in the bridge, it actually has sort of a section with her, like this kind of what we faded down with, I don't like know you, but I'd like to. And then that's kind of layered with the rest of the vocals, and it just feels very rich. And it's such a, you know, so the song in itself, great composition. And then the track ordering is so great, where we start off with the kind of confidence of like, yeah, I'm out there and hooking up with guys at parties, and then the infatuation, and now the, oh, I told a guy I liked him and it didn't work out. Oops. Yeah. And so it's just like that confidence kind of being stripped away, and the sort of sensitive soul underneath is being revealed.
Yeah, she really does a good job of selling the very relatable character of being very insecure on the inside, but projecting a confident image and feeling like she has to do that to get around in the world.
Well, one might say that that probably is, you need a little of that to be a musician. Yes. In this world. But yeah, we go, I think, into another take on that. How does that upfront swagger work out for you? It's called Conversation Starter.
Narcissistic, wondering just what you think of me. I'm good at turning nothing to tragedies. I'd rather get burnt now. I'll light a fire just to snuff it out. I'm bad at starting conversations apart. I'll have my reservations. Do you really want me back? Do you really want me back?
This is the first song that really leans all the way into kind of the rock side of the sound, and it's such a blast. And it's, I think, so such a great distillation of that, what we were talking about, the kind of outward confidence and inward insecurity. And I love her statement about this song when it was released as a single, where it's just like, I'm not a relationship girly, and I just want to skip to the good part. And it's like, yeah, I get it. That first part's really tough.
Yeah. And there are so many little cheerleader elements in this song that I thought it was amusing that if you watch the video, there are people dressed up as cheerleaders.
As well as someone dressed up, I think, as a gorilla?
A Sasquatch.
Oh, Sasquatch.
You missed the whole point of the video.
Apparently I did. Subtext, what's that?
Well, I mean, it was about a Sasquatch trying to find a friend. I mean, that's how I took it. But definitely a Sasquatch.
Definitely a Sasquatch.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I would be in a lot of trouble in the Pacific Northwest, I guess.
So this song reminds me a lot of somebody who we did on the podcast a couple of years ago now, an LA singer-songwriter named Lou Roy. And she has this similar kind of indie pop sensibility, but also just a self-awareness with funny lyrics and very catchy choruses. And I felt like that's the direction she's going with this song. And I think this is really her sweet spot. I'm sure her more folky stuff is also good, but I think she's just really good at this kind of a song, and I hope she does more of this.
Yeah, fantastic. No, I think that is the joy of this kind of evolution, that this sort of accelerated musical notion of like, yeah, you kind of blast out of nowhere onto TikTok, put out the EPs, get to this point where you have a real production team behind you. And this is all happening within a few years. As far as I can tell, she seems to be like, I guess, in her mid-20s maybe. Mm-hmm. And to already be at this point where she's starting to open up her sound and really explore is really awesome.
Well, and I think that's all can also be useful for artists to get such accelerated feedback like you didn't have before. Like you'd be holed up and record a whole album, and then the album will get released. And you can be a young person who's just kind of recording songs for TikTok and then recording some more songs and seeing what people respond to and go in that direction if that feels true to you, which, you know, is just kind of a new thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm reminded a little bit of another artist. I think we saw it South by Southwest and wanted to do her album. And then she just keeps putting out singles. Annie DeRusso, similarly, oh, yeah, like just has this online presence and got a fan base. and never put out an album.
Yeah. Because
she didn't have to.
Yeah.
And but also, I'm really glad when artists say, like, you know what, it's time for me to put out a record, because at a certain point, you got to. And I'm glad here that this is such a, feels like such a complete statement and this kind of coming out party of like, no, I'm ready for the big time.
Yeah. So the next song we'll play is called No Doubt.
I'm not too good at being subtle or acting unimpressed. I'm always worried that I come off too foolish, self-obsessed. But when I'm with you, I'm just closer to, so close to what I wanna be. I wanna be.
Capture some of the end of that song, because I love the way it's structured, and it really kind of starts out slow and builds up sonically to this really expansive, triumphant sound. And Odie Lee has said in an interview that she really wanted the end to feel very triumphant and like a parade, and I feel like you really get that sense of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so appropriate for the content that after all of these songs about being uncertain and having trouble getting to relationships, and finally this is that sense of like, oh, I'm actually with someone I love and who loves me, and I believe in it and I don't doubt it, and how magical that is, and you just want to explode in a blast of trumpets. Like, it's a magical moment, and she really captures it musically here.
Yeah, and I agree with the decision to maybe take trumpets out of some of the songs, because they're so effective where they're deployed. And if they were just all over this record, I think it would really deplete the impact. Same with the clarinet that comes in on some of these songs too. Like, the production is really well thought out and very, it really highlights what is great about her songwriting. So she has a great partner in the producer.
Yeah, I did want to point out something that I noticed here, where even in a song as big and as produced as this, as much of a wall of sound, and this album has two credited drummers, Jeremy Friedman and Nate Lichtenberger, but how many of the songs fall back on, even in that rock pop maximalism, to have the acoustic guitar be such a kind of the anchor of the percussion in the way that these songs do, and it gives them always that down-to-earth element, even when they're getting big and expansive like this.
Yeah. I mean, the Mountain Goats are my favorite band, so you know I love a percussive acoustic guitar.
Yeah, and so after it gets so big, we get to go back to a much more folky, stripped-down sound on the next track. It's called Finer Things. Engine,
hold me while we fall asleep till the morning sun splits at the seams. Till the morning sun splits at the seams. Sitting watching from your kitchen table, I'm enamored with all that you choose to be. And I would up and leave if I were able, but my darling, then what would be left of me? So come on back on in. There's no past and there's no present. only what we've left between, all the dust and lust and finer things, all the dust and lust and finer things.
So this song was recorded as one piece to tape, and she says it was meant to be this sweet, calm respite in the middle of the album. And so it's really stripped down. It's just her voice and the guitar and a little bit of clarinet. And it has such a calming feel.
Yeah, and it's, again, good sequencing, where I think I talked about No Doubt being one of the biggest, most bombastic tracks on the record. And I'm... at least my opinion is the next track we'll play is also pretty big and bombastic. So it's nice to catch our breath here. And again, thematic sequencing as well, where we go from this No Doubt, which is like this sort of exuberant about like, yay, a relationship I can count on. And this is a little more like not sad, but more just kind of a calm, like, all right, let's just kind of, I'm kind of routine. It's kind of sweet, but maybe a little sad. Like there's a lot going on in this song, even as it's as simple as it is.
Yeah. So the next song we'll play is called Either Way.
I'm buying a house you can move into. I'll pay off the mortgage with songs about you. And I'm not in a hurry, so take all your time. There's not much to consider, just one thing to decide. Do you wanna know me? Do you wanna know me? Do you wanna know me like I wanna know you? I wanna know you. I wanna know you. I wanna know. Do you wanna kiss me? Do you wanna kiss me? Do you wanna kiss me like I wanna kiss you? I wanna kiss you. I wanna kiss you. I want.
Look at the waveforms on that song, like I do when I edit. It's the difference is amusing. Of that's so stripped down, and the waves are so small, and then to giant, like almost solid white when all the instruments come in at the end.
Yeah. So this song to me feels so big in a way that you definitely wouldn't expect from the first track on the record, and that sort of expansiveness. And I kind of think of it. It's like feels cosmic, and that. You know, some of these songs, I don't think any of them are super, super complicated, but there are some interesting places where like, oh, there's a refrain. And like, even on that, on Finer Things, there was this ambiguity. It was like, is that a chorus? Is that a bridge? I couldn't even quite tell. And then this song where it's just like, nope, here's the chorus. It's definitely the chorus. And we're going to just hit you over the head with it and make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bring in piano, bring in that clarinet. And I realize I've written off a bunch of other credits, but yeah, Kevin Atwater is the credited clarinetist and brings such a great flavor to these songs, and it just gives it this magic. And you know, she's obviously a young artist, but Odie Lee, you know, part of me wonders, you know, I'm almost, you know, you think like, what are the reference points? But I almost, you know, you don't know where ceiling is going to be, but I'm like, a little bit of that Angel Olsen thing where she came on the scene. It's like, oh, this is just kind of folky singer. And then just kind of said, no, my ambitions are so much bigger and I'm going to make weirder and louder and more exciting music than you expected.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we don't know how, you know, how high this rocket ship is going to go, but it's really exciting to find out.
Yeah. And the song, it's very repetitive, like you said, in the lyrics, but I think it doesn't, it's it could come across poorly or annoying, and she handles it so well. And I think there's a Long Winter song I really like called Teaspoon, where he says teaspoon like 100 times, but it's different every time, and it changes over the course of the song. And I think that is also what she's doing here. And it's also kind of, to me, the lyrical heart of the themes on this record, where it's like, yeah, that's what it all comes down to, is like, do you want to know me like I want to know you? And like, that's really what this is all about. And I feel like that is why it's repeated so much in this song. And I think it ends up being really effective, even with that level of repetition.
Yeah, you focus on the essence and just run with it. I am very excited for Odie Lee, and I think our timing couldn't be better for doing this episode, because she'll be playing at Outside Lands, the unenviable slot of Friday, 1:30 p.m. That is
on
rough.
August 9th,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah, the very first day of the festival, it's the weekday, people are kind of still getting ramped up, and you're going to have an audience that you have to win over, but, you know, maybe she'll faceplant, or maybe this will be the band that everyone's saying, hey, it's such a bummer you missed this, I'm so glad I was there. And so we'll see, maybe some of our listeners end up seeing her there.
Yeah. And the song that we're going to go out on is called My Name on a T-Shirt. And I do just want to talk a little bit about that before we play it, which is that this was the second song that she wrote for the record. And she felt self-conscious about it because it was so much more in a rock direction. And that wasn't necessarily how she saw herself. But then as it came, you know, she got more comfortable with it, and she realized this is like the direction that the record's going to go in, away from a more folky sound and into a more rock sound. I think it's very successful. I love the story that is told in the course of this song, which is kind of about a long distance relationship that is tough to navigate. And I think it's a great way to end, even though it was written so early. It kind of comes back around to all of the themes that she's covered on this record.
Yeah, it's so much of kind of owning herself and owning herself as an artist. Like, no, I'm here, I deserve to have my name on a T-shirt, like, and it's kind of weird, but I think maybe I can do this. But then there is just this refrain of there, like, I want to know how this one ends, like, yeah. There's just like, I'm super excited and I'm confident, and also I have no idea.
Yeah,
and we're all gonna find out together.
So we've been listening to the debut LP from Odie Lee, last name spelled L-E-I-G-H, and it's called Carrier Pigeon. And again, we're going to go out with that last song called My Name on a T-Shirt. And you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
I met your brother and your sister. I know your roommates. You know you missed her in the morning in your bed sheets. I'm sleeping in. You're feeling guilty in the next day. At my concert, you're wearing my name on a T-shirt, getting handsy in front of my friends. After you left, I said, I don't think I'll see him again. Spent the next month.
is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.